Amen. Well, I just want to first of all say the weather has been incredible. All right. You know, I've been walking in a winter wonderland all week long. I know some of you that like snow are probably griping and things like that. I have been enjoying it, wearing my shorts, listening to Christmas music, hanging out. I think this is what God intended to be. I know I've seen the weather forecast, and I realize that tonight that some of you guys are going to win out with your faith instead of mine, and it's going to get colder. But, you know, in fact, I don't know if you look at the weather. I think the high today is 70 and the low is 36. I mean, you know, I know we have bipolar weather in Oklahoma, but I'm just praying that the warm weather will win out and that Snowboard Bob is wrong this year, all right? Because I read in September, you know, if you can't, things on the internet, you don't know what. So Snowboard Bob, whoever who Snowboard Bob is, it popped up on my Facebook feed and said that we were going to have a colder than normal winter this year. So I rebuked him, and look at that. We have, I think yesterday's high hit 85, someone said. Praise God. That's awesome. I mean, you know, that is incredible. Amen. Well, it's the last Sunday of 2025. And so I'm going to give my annual New Year's message. But, you know, I always pray every year, and the Lord always gives me a word. Now, the word necessarily is for myself. It might not be for you, and it won't be for you if you don't make it for you. And I know everybody wants to come up with some kind of clever word that rhymes, you know, like 2026 is the year to pick up sticks or something like that. But I don't know what rhymes with 2026 anyway, but it doesn't matter. So when I was in Brazil a few weeks ago, I was just praying about, you know, the upcoming year. And actually, I really wasn't really thinking about a word. I wasn't thinking about a message or whatever. But the Lord actually put a word in my heart for 2026. And the word is elevate. Elevate. All right. Elevate is a verb meaning to lift up, to raise to a higher level, improve, advance, or increase in quality, position, or effectiveness. I believe that 2026 at Rhema Bible Church is going to elevate everything in our lives. It's time to move to a higher level, move to a new place. You know, I obviously, we've all seen the Holy Ghost meetings and all these things, and people say, well, how come it doesn't happen anymore? Well, number one, we don't expect it. Number two, we just want to get out of church probably as soon as possible as well. Anyway, but God never designed us to stay on the same level year after year. He wants us to move to a higher level. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So the Bible tells us that God's ways are higher, and his thoughts are higher. And, you know, so we need to think in a higher level. So if God is higher and his ways are higher, then his desire is for us to live a higher life, spiritually, emotionally, and in every area of our life. But really, we decide the level of our year. Just because 2026 happens and you say Happy New Year doesn't mean you're going to have a Happy New Year. See, really, you determine what your year is going to be. By many ways, by the way you speak, by the way you act, by the way you carry yourself, by the way you think, those are all things that will cause your year to either elevate or descend. You know, and the thing about it is, the great thing about a new year, it's kind of a time to reset. You have a blank page. Anything that happens in 2026 will happen starting midnight, you know, on Wednesday night going into Thursday. You have a blank page. It's time to reset and decide what your year is going to be. Because ultimately, you decide. You decide how good your year is going to be, you know. So I said this a couple years ago. It might be a good time January 1 or maybe January 2 because it's probably closed down, or maybe go December 31st and put 4 fresh tires on your car and make sure they're Goodyears. That means you'll be rolling into the new year having a good year, all right? So anyway, that's a joke, but I'm sure someone's going to do it. So, all right, but you decide the level of your year. This year is not going to be determined by the calendar. It will be determined by your choices. You can't have a new year with the same thinking, the same habits, the same words, and the same faith level and expect different results. You know, that's not faith, that's frustration. You can't do the same thing and expect things to be different. Because if you talk the same, if you act the same, if you be the same, you're going to have the same old year. You know, you have to, I just heard Billy, turn it up a notch. If you want to elevate, decide. You know, you need to decide right now. I'm going to have a better year next year. I'm going to do it. But we'll talk about your talking anyway. You know, God has already made provisions for increase, but you decide whether you rise or remain. The Bible says the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. That means we should not be plateauing. Plateauing means flat for some of you. We should be progressing. We should be continuing to move forward, continue to elevate. You know, the Bible says promotion and exaltation comes from the Lord. In James 4:10, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That means you don't have to chase elevation. You position yourself for it. Put yourself in a position where God can elevate you to a new level. You know, don't try to make things happen. Let God make things happen. You know, sometimes I say just let go and let God. You know, maybe you've been trying to do this and trying to do that, and your trying is not working. Maybe you should quit trying and start relying on God. You know, once again, doing the same thing year after year while expecting different results doesn't work. That's actually the definition of insanity. The definition of sanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expect things to change. You're going to have to change the habit. You're going to have to change your talking. You're going to have to change your level of faith. You're going to have to change what you expect, because we only get what we expect. If we don't expect anything, we don't get anything. You know, I know, growing up, the preacher would always say, well, come tonight with your expectors turned on. Well, I always wonder, why do you turn them off, first of all? Secondly, do we really expect to get anything? Sometimes we just roll out of bed and come to church because we think we should. Because the Bible says not forsake assembling self together. We don't, you know, and I've heard people say, well, you know, I hope the pastor really brings it today. Well, the deal is, you know, what do you expect? Do you expect to, that God will speak to you? Or do you expect to sit around in church, figure out where you're going to eat lunch, and then go to lunch? You're going to get what you expect. You know, what do you expect from this year? Have you even thought about it? Have you even thought about 2026? I mean, you know, I realize, you know, you've been too busy Christmas shopping and doing whatever because, you know, if you're like me, you wait till the last minute. Which is actually, this year wasn't too bad. The mall, I mean, it wasn't very crowded because everyone's ordering on Amazon. So it wasn't that bad. But anyway, this is the year to do something different on purpose. On purpose. You know, like I said, they say 21 days makes a habit. If you show up January the 2nd in the gym, you'll see the gym crowded. If you show back up January the 10th, hardly anybody will be there, except for the regulars who were there in 2025. Because everybody has good intentions, but they don't stick with it. You know, and they have the same crummy year. But anyway, elevation requires new thinking. Once, you know, it says before God elevates your life, he has to elevate your mind. We just read, you know, in Isaiah where it says God says his thoughts are higher than ours. So elevation starts with higher thinking. If you keep thinking the same way, you'll keep living the same way. How you think will determine how you act. Of course, we know Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." You know, the Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. See, we have to determine that instead of the thinking in our natural mind the way a human thinks, we have to renew our mind and think the way God thinks. Human thinks, you know, that guy's an idiot, you know, and I'm mad at him. God thinks, you know what, I love him, even though he looks like an idiot. No, I'm just kidding. God doesn't think you look like an idiot. God thinks you're lovable. All right, you know, human thinking is like, there's no way we're going to get through this situation. God's thinking is, you know what, I've got you. You're going to make it. You're going to get through it. See, you have to determine to rethink how you should think. You know, and it is kind of hard. I do have a degree in accounting, and you know, and accounting says you either have money or you don't have money. God says, you know what, I will provide. You know, in accounting, you have facts, and it's all about facts. All right, but when it comes to God, it's not always all about facts. It's about what do you believe. It's about your faith. And the deal is sometimes you have to unwind your mind and undo the way you think, because a lot of times we say one thing, but we don't really believe it. And I always joke, you know, you might say this is the day the Lord's made, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, but you don't rejoice and be glad in your day. You just said it because it was out of a habit. You know, just because we can quote the scripture doesn't mean we live the scripture. All right? You know, that's why I always pray about being a doer of God's word. Not a sayer of God's word, but a doer of God's word. You know, when you speak to your mountain, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, you know, it says you speak, but you have to believe. Now, you have to believe what you're speaking. If you want an elevated life, then you need to have an elevated mindset. If we want to go higher, we must think higher. You can't speak faith-filled words with a defeated mindset. You know, if you believe you've been defeated. Now, see, the Bible says that we have already won the victory. It doesn't say we are going to win. Many people are trying to go get something that they already have according to the word of God. If you're going to get something, that's future tense. Faith is now. Hope is future tense. See, a lot of people think they're in faith, but they're really in hope. They're believing they're going to have something, but you have to speak it now. You have to think it now. You have to believe it now, because whatever you think, whatever you speak, and whatever you believe will happen in your life. But the big part is you. You know, you're your biggest problem. The Bible's true. We all know, in fact, if you can go out there and get on a t-shirt. My grandfather has a saying that God says it. I believe it. And that settles it. And the thing about it, if you knew my grandfather, really knew him intimately, if the Bible says it, there is no... You know, it's going to work. It has to work because God said so. But too many times we read the Bible and God says so, but our mind doesn't think so. Now, you might say, you know, well, yeah, that's what the Bible says, but do you believe what the Bible says? And many of us say, yeah, I believe what the Bible says. Then why are you doubting? Why are you not thinking at a higher level? You know, because... In all reality, the things that God needs to do for a lot of our lives is pretty small. You know, if you think about this, okay, God made mankind, you know, man, from a bunch of dust. I don't know how many of you work in the medical field and all the, you know, I mean, your cells and all these things. And I mean, even reflexes. Think about it. If there's a ball coming at me, I mean, without even thinking, I'm going to reach out and try to catch it or try to knock it out of the way. I mean, that all came from a bunch of dust. And then if you happen to be female, you came from a rib. All right. So if God can do that, plus, he made the heavens and the earth and all these things. And, you know, and I get it. We live in Oklahoma, so we don't see the mountains. We don't see the ocean. You know, we don't see a lot of stuff. And hopefully we don't see any snow. Anyway, but That's. But you know, we don't have some of those things. But you know, you see those things and you think about, man, we serve a big God. But then we wonder, well, I hope God's able to provide that $2,000 that I need to be able to go on a missions trip. Well, wait a minute. He made you from dirt. And you're thinking, well, hopefully God can provide $2,000 to go on a missions trip. Or hopefully that God can heal me. The deal is, I mean, see, his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And, you know, I'm going to throw this into a human level. You know, I guess the richest guy on the planet is Elon Musk, I guess, you know. Do you realize that he doesn't think whenever, you know, if he wants to buy something, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you know, what it costs, he can afford it. Do you not think that God thinks higher than Elon Musk? Now, I'm not saying that you need to believe God so you can, you know, pay $20,000 a night for a hotel room, because Elon Musk would never do that because he's too frugal. But anyway, but the thing about it is that God's the ultimate thinker. He can outthink it. But the Bible also says that he wants to give us what we can ask or think. It's not a scripture that I'm going to read this year, but, you know, anyway, you can't speak faith filled words with a defeated mindset. You can't believe for more while thinking small. This is the year to elevate. Elevate how you see yourself. Elevate how you see God. And elevate how you see your future. Because really, you know, elevation goes beyond 2026. You know, every year of your life should get better and better and better. Every year. Every year you should move higher and higher. And you know, and if you're having a crummier one or two in between, then you need to decide to change that. The Bible doesn't change. God doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. Do you realize the Bible tells us that I'm the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible is still the same. It works in 2025, 2026, in 2031, in 20, you know, whatever, in year 3000 if we're still here. The Bible is still the same. So we need to elevate our thinking, but also we need to elevate our words. You know, faith is released through your words. You don't just think it, you speak it. You can't constantly speak defeat and walk in victory. You cannot talk lack and live in abundance. Are you always saying, man, I never have enough money? Well, you know, I'm just almost there. You know, so many times that we talk what we see and not what we want or what we desire. You know, you're not subject to the economy of the world. I've heard people say, well, you know, it's just been a bad year. Economy's bad. This is bad. That's bad. You know, Michael Jackson's bad because he has a song. You know, I know bad's supposed to be good in his song. But anyway, the point is that why do we talk like that? Why do we talk negative but want to think positive? I mean, that goes against every self-help book you ever buy, and you still do it. You realize you can have a library full of self-help books and every version of the Bible in every language, and it's not going to help you if you don't put it into practice. You know, there are so many people that spend a lot of time, they spend so much time reading self-help books, they forget to actually to help themselves. And then they get so confused because this person says this, and that person says that, somebody else says something else or whatever. Just go out and do it. You know, like Nike says, just do it. Just decide, make a decision that this next year is going to be, you know, incredible in every area of your life. And keep speaking it. And when you have maybe a crummy day, say, you know what? It doesn't matter. One day doesn't make a year. It'll get better. It'll get better. We already have won the victory. All right? You cannot speak fear and expect peace. Now, we obviously all know Mark 11:23 says that you can speak to the mountain and it will move. If you say it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, you're going to have what you say. I'm not going to read. I mean, I'm giving you the Craig's paraphrase version. But Mark 11:22 says to have faith in God. So we have to actually expect God to move our mountain. You're not moving your mountain. God is. God gave you direction. Speak to it, believe it, and have it. He doesn't say to move it. He doesn't say give me suggestions on how you move it. He just said speak to it. Romans 4:17, God himself calls things that do not exist as though they already do. So we don't wait until we see change. We speak change. We speak what we want to see even before we see it. We speak things into existence. Well, you know, I know some people think that seems crazy, but really, even in the self-help world, they tell you to do those kind of things. Speak what you want, not what you have. But the deal is, when we speak things, we expect God to bring those things to pass. We're not just saying them out there because we're hoping and praying. You know, so we don't wait until we see change. We speak change. That doesn't mean we don't wait. That means we don't wait until we see it to say it. We say it because God says it. We don't have to see the answer. You know, a lot of people, you know, they'll believe it when they see it. This is God we're talking about. You know, God's not a liar. If he says that he's going to do it. So, you know, the only way things can get messed up is because of you mess it up. You don't believe. You don't speak faith. You know, how many times have I've done it, I know we've all done it. There's been something maybe we desired. And, you know, we started believing God for it. And all of a sudden, then after a few weeks, few months, we kind of just quit. So you must have not really desired it. If you desired it, you wouldn't quit. When you desire something, you don't quit until it happens. You speak into existence at all times. Because when you desire something, you want it really bad. And there's nothing that will stop you from getting it. So why don't you desire to have an elevated year? Why don't you desire to, you know, for things to be better? Because I've talked to a lot of people over the last few weeks, or not necessarily talked to them in person, but, you know, social media and things like that, talk about how crummy their year's been. Well, you know what? Maybe you had a crummy year, but, you know, you can change that in a few days. Actually, you can change it right now. You don't have to wait till January 1 to change. You know what? You can make the last 3 days of 2025 the best days, you know, of the whole year based on your mindset. You know, this year, elevate your confession. Stop saying, this is just how it always goes. Stop saying, nothing ever changes. Stop saying, that's just my luck. No, this year, speak, I'm growing. I'm increasing, I'm moving forward, and God is working in my life to make it happen. You know, the deal is that sometimes you have to speak the opposite of how you feel. All right? Because, you know, I give an example of my kidney issues is that, you know, every time that I would look and I could see that things weren't better, I never said, oh, I guess I'm not any better. I would say, thank you, Father, that I am healed and my kidneys are normal in the name of Jesus. I never spoke what I saw. I spoke what I wanted. Now, we should do that in every area of your life. Quit speaking what you're seeing and start speaking what you want. What do you desire? God says he wants to give us the desires of our hearts. And actually, in Mark 11:24, the old King James says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you have, I have a sermon called The Fire of Desire. Whatever you desire is what you speak and what you think and what you act. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that we look not at what is seen, but what is unseen. All right, this year, elevate your confession. Speak life. Speak faith. And speak what God says, not what circumstances say. I get it. Circumstances are not always good. It doesn't always say things. You know, but look at the bright side. All right, maybe you total your car. That's not good, especially if it's your fault. But what is good, you get a new car. You know, so, I mean, you know, make lemonade out of lemons or whatever. You know, sometimes things happen that wasn't your plan. You didn't plan for it to happen, but you know what? God's got you. You didn't plan for this to happen. You didn't plan for the business to fail. You didn't plan, you know, for the situation not to work out. But you know what? It doesn't matter. God has you. God has you. He's going to help you get through it to whatever he wants you to be. You know, and sometimes, you know, we have setbacks. But, what, you know, I think about Garth Brooks. He went to Oklahoma State University. And he was actually, when I was there, he was playing the college bars. But anyway, he has a song, I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Anyone ever heard that song? Now, here's the thing, you know. Now, God always answers prayers. But see, what happened is there were things that he wanted, but he didn't need. You know, those weren't God's plans. So maybe something didn't work out. Maybe that wasn't what God wanted you to have. Maybe he wanted you to have something better. And so that didn't work out. Now, you know, I always don't care. So sometimes, you know, if you're trying to buy something, you know, maybe it's a store or maybe it's like a car or whatever. And, you know, people always say, well, you know, you better buy it now before, you know, it might be gone tomorrow. These salesmen try to talk you out of, you know, saying, hey, you know, if you don't do it today, you know what? My point is, if it's gone tomorrow, God has something else for me that wasn't the right one. All right? Plus, we live in the internet world. I mean, you know, there's a car just like that down in Dallas or somewhere else, Kansas City or what. I mean, I can find a car like that. I mean, they make thousands of them. And somebody wants to sell one, you know, or, you know, so what, you know, well, of course, you know, now I don't have to worry about going to Best Buy. I mean, you know, I can order online or whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're going to sell out tomorrow. Now, I know that there are things, you know, there's always a hot toy at Christmas that everybody's always fighting over, whatever. I'm not sure what it was this year because I don't know. I'm not really into hot stuff or whatever. So, you know, whatever the cool things are. But I remember my mom almost got in a fight over a Cabbage Patch doll one time. Not that I didn't desire the Cabbage Patch doll. I want to throw that out there. That was my sister. If you don't know what a Cabbage Patch doll is because you're too young, Google that and you'll figure it out. It was some stupid doll that you actually adopted. And people were freaking out over the dumb thing. So my mom and some lady at Target almost went, they went toe to toe on over a cabbage patch. But you know, it's just not worth it. Anyway, speak life, speak faith, speak what God wants, not what your circumstances says. Now, the Bible also tells us to write down the vision and run with it. Over in Habakkuk 2:2-3, it says, God told his people to write the vision and make it plain. Why do you write vision down? Because vision gives direction. Vision gives focus. Vision keeps you moving forward. You know, for a lot of people, we're visual. You know, now, I'm someone who has a vivid imagination. I don't have to, you know, physically see it. But, you know, a lot of people, they need to physically see it. That's why people write down vision boards and you know, they put it there in front of them. So they're always looking at it. I do know that there was a car that I desired. This is way back before, you know, I don't even know if we had cell phones. I think we had cell phones, or some people had cell phones, but there's no pictures on your cell phones. I don't even think you could text back then. You actually use it just to talk. All right. And so now, you know, you can have a picture or whatever, but so there was a car I desired. So I cut it out of Motor Trend magazine and hung it on my bathroom mirror. Why? Because I looked at that mirror a lot. Every morning, every night, maybe during the daytime or whatever. You know, every time you're standing at the sink washing your hands or whatever. And so I wanted to look at what I wanted so I could keep that in front of me. And so it's always good to write things down. What would you like to happen in 2026? Now, they tell you, if you write a bunch of stuff down, you'll be surprised how quickly things happen. Because when you write them down, they become more important. That's why even they tell you when you're studying for a test, a lot of times, you write things down, you know, and you remember them more. All right. Proverbs 29:18 also says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. You know, a lot of people, I think they just float through life. You know, and especially in the day and age that we live in, I mean, there's so many young people that have no clue what they want to do in life. You know, and the deal is, you don't have to know exactly. I mean, you know, people always ask all the time, you know, they want to know exactly what's going to happen or whatever. You know, I have no clue, you know, as far as with the ministry or whatever. Raymond's done a lot more things on accident than a lot of people have done on purpose. We're just going to keep running with the vision. And so God gave us a couple things. God gave us, he told us to go teach my people faith. That's why primarily, for the most part, I only teach on faith and healing for the most part. Now, I know on Sunday morning we teach pastoral messages, but I go out and travel and I teach on faith and healing. Secondly, he told us to open Bible schools. That's what we do. One time I actually went into my mom's office, and I don't know, I was looking at some ministry, and they were digging wells in Haiti and doing cool, you know, cool stuff or whatever. I'm thinking, you know what? I know a lot of people all around the world. Hey, we can dig wells, we can open orphanages, we can do all kinds of things. And so I said, Mom, why don't we do it? You know, we can. And my mom says, you know what, those are good things. Nothing wrong with having orphanages and, you know, digging, you know, wells for clean water, feeding people. But that's not what God called us to do. God called us to start Bible schools to train men and women to be visionaries, to go out and dig wells and open orphanages and do those things. We're not called to do that. Now, that doesn't mean that one of our schools might not decide to have this or have that. You know, whatever God called them to do. But the point is, he called us to start Bible schools to train men and women, you know, with the message of faith and learning how to follow the Spirit, learning how to, you know, because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. So you have to know your calling. Just because, because some of you ask, well, this church is doing this and that church is doing that. Well, great. God bless them. You know, the thing about it is, you have to do what God called you to do. And, you know, one of our biggest thrusts and biggest focuses is to train people for the end time harvest. That's what we do. So that's why we don't dig wells and we don't have orphanages and we don't have this and we don't have that. Not saying, those are all good things. But the deal is, and so some people say, well, blah, 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 church is doing that and they're doing this and they're doing that. Well, you know what? You know, great. You know, then a lot of pastors are doing nothing but playing golf. And I'm like, my golf game stinks. I mean, you know, I don't have time to play golf. Anyway, so this year, write down your spiritual goals. Write down your faith goals. You know, I believe that you should always have a faith project. Whatever it is, what do you believe in God for? Write down your family goals. Write down the things that you are believing God for, which somebody said. Then begin to speak over what you wrote. Begin to call those things, even though they're not, as though they are. Call them into existence in 2026. You know, vision keeps you from drifting. Vision keeps you focused. And vision keeps you elevated. It keeps you thinking to a higher level. You know, when I say, you know, write goals down, you know, write some goals down to that are higher level. So we wrote a goal down. And, you know, we have, I think, 310. I don't know. What is our number now? 324. So we decided that we're just going to write down 1,000. We're shooting for 1,000 Bible schools. And however many, we want a Bible school in every nation of the world if we can so desire it. I mean, that's, you know, I know 1,000, that's like three times the number, but, you know, hey, you know what? You got to start somewhere. You say, well, that's a really high number. Well, I remember when we had 15. And then I remember we had 40. I actually, there was one year that they were, you have to understand, our word of faith, we like right now, we're probably working on July. Maybe not that far, but I mean, and so I remember in the of August, they're writing the, you know, stuff for the, you know, December just came out for this year. There was the end of the year thing. At that time, we had 80 schools at that point in time. And so when they're writing the thing, I actually changed it to 100. You're like, 100? You only have 80. I said, well, by the time it hits, and by the time that end of the year hit, we had 102. All right, you know, because I knew that Brazil was rapidly expanding and could open some new campuses, and they always put in for new campuses. So the end of their year is they finish in November, December, so September, October, they put in for new campuses. And so, you know, we had 100. You know, but put things out there. You know, if it doesn't happen in 2026, write it down for 2027. Don't get frustrated because God will bring it to pass. Amen. All right. Number five, elevate your walk with God. You know, elevation begins with intimacy. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. If you want a higher year, you need a closer walk with the Lord. All right. So this is the year to elevate your prayer life. You know, a lot of times we think about how much time do you spend praying? You know, this year is time to elevate your time in the Word. You know, you can't be a doer of the Word if you know what the Word says. All right. This is the year to elevate your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. How many times do we walk into a place and not thinking about anybody else? You know, my grandfather always said, he never one time prayed that God would bless him, but he prayed that every single day that God would make him a blessing. Well, you can't be a blessing to people if you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times, you know, we have divine connections that you know, you just happen to be at the right place at the right time to minister to somebody, and it's just so awesome. I mean, you know, I actually saw a story. One of my friends, he's also a Facebook friend. I mean, he was literally in tears because, you know, he didn't know why God led him to a gas station. He said he didn't even need gas, but he decided. I mean, God said to pull in, and then he was there pumping his gas, and there was a car there, and God told him, buy that person's gas and, you know, and stuff. And then the story behind it, I mean, you know, how that, you know, it just was an incredible story. I mean, you know, how she was just having a very tough time. And she was just praying that God would help her to be able to fill up her tank. And all, I mean, it was just an incredible story. You know what? You know, God wants to use you. You know, many people said, well, I'd love to speak into someone's life. Well, you can't speak into anyone's life if you're so busy not caring about anybody but yourself. You know, and I'm not saying you don't care. I'm just saying that we don't even think about other people sometimes, or we're not expecting you know, whatever. I mean, I know many of you know Todd White, and if you hear his testimony, he didn't intend to become a preacher. His whole intent was, you know, I'm going to go to Walmart or the mall or whatever, and I see people hurting, I'm going to pray for them. And so what happened is he began to give testimonies. Hey, I prayed for this person, and they got healed. And it's funny to listen to his stories. You know, he says, can I pray for you? And they're like, I'm Muslim. I don't care. Can I pray for you? I can tell you're hurting. I can look at you as you're hurting. Can I pray for you? Well, I'm Mormon. It doesn't matter. You know, the deal is there's a lot of people that are hurting. A lot of people are looking for somebody, you know, to show them Jesus. And, you know, we should be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Also, too, we live in a crazy time where people do crazy things. If you feel a leading not to be in a certain place, don't go. Don't override it. You know, well, you know, what if I miss it? Well, you still live. You know, you just don't, I mean, there's all kinds of crazy things going on in this world because there's crazy people. And, you know, you just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. All right. You cannot live elevated while living distracted. Don't let things distract you. You know, one of the biggest distractions from our prayer life or reading the word is either the computer, video games, you know, like I said, social media, or TV. You know, but because it's so much easier. So, you know, I'll just watch TV, then I'll pray. Then I'll do this. You know, we have to sometimes just turn the TV off or turn the video game off. Or you know, if you play video games to 3 a.m. every night, then you need to change that habit probably. All right? You know, and I've been there too. I mean, you know, playing stupid Facebook games. You know, actually a lot of people, I remember I was playing this one game, and you had to be Facebook friends. So these people are Facebook friends, and they all lived in like Australia and or Asia, you know, areas because, you know, they were awake the same time I was. You know, they had no clue my time zone. And then it would say somebody logged on. It was funny because there's a Ray McGrath that lived in Norway, and it would say she just logged on. Every time she logged on, I'm like, I got to go to bed. She's just show up at work, and I got to go to bed. You know, but, you know, so that's also the biggest attraction of my sleep life as well. But sometimes turn the TV off, sometimes turn the computer off, all right? Anyway, God always has a higher place, but only those who seek him will step into it, all right? Number 6, let go of last year, or I guess this year because we're still in 2025. You cannot elevate while holding on to yesterday. We all know Philippians 3:13-14 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended one, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says he forgot what was behind and pressed toward what was ahead. You know, forget what's behind. Whether it was good, whether it was bad, whatever happened in 2025, you cannot change. It's already been done. Some things were good. Some things were not good. Some things you might have said something or done something you shouldn't have done or whatever. You know what? You can't change the past. But you can change your future. That was actually a quote I got a number of years ago. You can't change the past, but you can always change your future. There's nothing you can do about the past. It's gone. It's already happened. You know, I mean, like I said, I don't know how many times people, you'll see the news and so-and-so said in a deleted tweet. You tried to delete it, but people still saw it. People still did it. It doesn't matter. All right. Maybe last year you've had disappointments. You've had loss. You've had failure. You had some missed opportunities. Well, do what the movie Frozen says. Let it go. See, what happens is the devil will try to remind you of your past. He'll try to remind you of how, you know, actually what's going to happen for some of you, you're going to determine you're going to have a better year this year. And about 2 weeks into the year, something's going to hit you across the face and you're going to, well, it's going to be just like 2025. See, the devil tried to bring back 2025 and you maybe had a crummy year in 2025. It doesn't matter what the devil says. The devil's a liar. We read that. Do you realize the devil's a liar? And he'll probably put thoughts in your mind. You know what? The past is the past. Wave bye-bye to the past and move forward. You know, maybe you got 1,000 people saved last year. Great. It's a new year. There's 1,000 more that need to meet Jesus. You know, so whatever you did, you can't walk, you know. The deal is, you know how many, well, let's just put it this way. All right, we'll just, you know, I can't use the Dallas Cowboys because they never win since the 90s. The Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they had a number of really good years. But their past didn't help them this year. They're not going to the Super Bowl. They're not even going to the playoffs. All right, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter if you were good last year or the year before. You know, or you were a dynasty 5 years in a row. You know, the thing about it is, you got to determine last year's gone. You know, and that was, well, this has happened a lot of times, you know. I think it's actually happened to Oklahoma City Thunder right now. I don't know if you realize that they didn't lose hardly any games, and then the Spurs have beat them like 3 times over the last, because see, every time they get into that competition, that I think, you know, and the same thing that happened last time happens again. You got to change something up. You got to decide, you know what, I'm not going to let it happen again. And so let go of the past. You know, God never asked you to move forward while holding backwards. You know, I tell this story a lot. You know, you can never move forward looking backwards. If you do, it might end up in an ouchie. I was actually at a convention one time, me and Tim Rogers from Raymond, Mexico. Now, we were walking down the street, Las Vegas, Nevada, and the Bellagio fountains were across the street. Well, you know, we kind of had passed the fountains, and so the guy in front of us, he kept looking back, watching the fountains, and all of a sudden, boom, he ran into a fire hydrant. Unfortunately, the fire hydrant hit him in a bad place. It wasn't funny, but it was funny, but it wasn't funny. You got if it happened to me, it wouldn't be funny, but it was, you know, and the deal is, we tried to yell, watch out, but he already, you know, because we were looking forward. So you can't look, you know, if you try to walk forward looking backward, you might get an ouchie. Quit looking backward. Doesn't matter what happened last year. Let it go. Decide to let it go, all right? And if you have to put that song from Frozen, you know, on, you know, continuous play, just do it, all right? All right? Anyway, you're not called to relive it. You're called to rise above it. All right? This year's not about who you were. It's about where God is taking you. The Bible says in Lamentations 3, just paraphrase, it says that God's mercies are new every morning. This is a fresh start. Fresh year, 2026. Make it, you know, do something. Now, also, the Bible says in Philippians 3:14, Paul says there's an upward call of God. So God's not calling you lower. God's not calling you backwards. God is calling you higher. That means God is always calling us higher. What's higher mean? Higher faith, higher joy, higher peace, and higher effectiveness. Singers and Band used to have a song, Wayne Stevens would sing it, I will move up higher. You know, decide, you know what, we're going to move up higher. It doesn't matter. God's not pulling you down, he's calling you up. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter every day. That means this year should be better, stronger, and higher than last year. Next year, 2026. Should be better, stronger, and higher than 2025. So in conclusion, church, you need to decide this is the year I'm going to elevate. I'm going to elevate my thinking. I'm going to elevate my words. I'm going to elevate my faith. I'm going to elevate my walk with God. I will not stay where I was. I will not settle for less. I'm answering the upward call of God. This year, I'm stepping higher. This year, I'm growing stronger. This year, God is lifting me up. This is my elevated year in 2026. Final encouragement, God is ready to elevate you, but elevation begins with obedience, faith, and expectation. Don't turn your respecters off. You know, always keep them on. Expect God to move. If you rise, God will lift. If you will believe, God will move. If you will step forward, God will meet you there. This is not just a new year. This is a higher year. This is an elevated year. Let God make this year the best year you've ever had. But it's going to start with you. What are you thinking? What are you saying? What are you believing? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you for everything. We thank you for each and every person that's here and each and every person that's watching online. Father God, we thank you that they will choose to have an elevated 2026. They will change the way they think. They will change the way they act. They will change the way they believe. So Lord, as we step into 2026, we step in with faith. We receive your upward call. We choose to elevate in our thinking, our words, and our walk with you. We declare that this year will be higher, this new year will be higher than the last one. But Father God, we just thank you right now. As we pray, we thank you, Father, if there's anyone in here that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, that they will meet him today. It's really hard to have an elevated year if you don't know Jesus. So maybe you're here in this room and you say, Pastor Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but this morning I want to meet Jesus. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, this is your day. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I've never asked him to become my Lord and Savior. You know, my grandfather talks about having what we call a know-so experience. You can know today. If you want to know, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you know you're saved. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I know Jesus. I walked with him. But I turned my back and I went away. And I want to come back home and rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand right now. Across this auditorium. Thank you, Father. Let's all stand up. Heavenly Father, I don't see any hands, but we thank you, Father, that if anyone is here that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, we thank you for sending laborers across their path. We thank you, Father, that they will meet Jesus. But Father God, we also thank you to help each and every one of us to have a elevated 2026 in the name of Jesus. You want to sing something?
I want to go higher and take me deeper. I want to go farther in your presence, Lord. I want to go higher and take me deeper. I want to go farther in your presence, Lord. 'Cause in your presence there is joy beyond measure. And in your presence there is peace forevermore. And everything that I desire I have found in you. So here's my life, mold me, change me, make me more like you. I wanna go higher and take me deeper. I wanna go farther in your presence, Lord.
Hey, maybe you should sing that song every day this year if you do want to go higher and deeper. Amen. Well, praise God. Like I said, this is the last Sunday of 2025. No service tonight, but we do have service on Wednesday. Now, we're not, it's still going to be our power. We're not going to ring in the new year. But if you happen to be part of the youth group, they're having a big event. They're going to ring in the new year. We're just going to have our power and going to go home like old people enjoy our night. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you today. The connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you to the north lobby and give you a gift that we have for you really quick. You know the way we dismiss around here? The pastoral staff is headed to the different doors. I'm going to be at the east door, it says there. God bless you guys. Decide you're going to have an elevated year. We'll see some of you next year. We'll see some of you on Wednesday night. Have a great day. Enjoy the weather for a few more hours. God bless you.
And your joy,
your joy,
your peace.